The Environmental Protection Agency's new proposed limits for harmful forever chemicals in drinking water are 17 times lower than Wisconsin's standard. It's Wednesday, March 15th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Joe Schultz reports on what Wisconsin banking officials have to say about the recent bank failures in California and New York. And Anya Van Wagtendonk has the details from the annual State of the Tribes address. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
The Environmental Protection Agency released proposed limits for harmful forever chemicals in drinking water that set levels as low as they can be measured. Danielle Kading reports the EPA is proposing individual limits of 4 parts per trillion for 2 of the most studied PFAS.
Those levels are 17 times lower than Wisconsin's drinking water standard. Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg says she's pleased the EPA's proposal offers a uniform standard. The city found PFAS in its 6 wells last year. She says ratepayers will pay more for a $17 million system to treat chemicals below those levels.
It's just another thing that we're asking our community to help support, and it's not lost on us that it's challenging for some families.
If adopted, some Wisconsin water groups say systems will need financial help to meet those standards. Environmental groups say they will mean safer drinking water and fewer lives lost. But some industry groups have questioned the science around stricter limits. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The failure of 2 large banks in California and New York has stirred anxiety for consumers. But as Joe Schultz reports, Wisconsin banking officials say the state's banks remain safe.
2 large banks that primarily serve the tech industry collapsed after bank runs. Silicon Valley Bank in California failed last Friday, followed by Signature Bank in New York on Sunday. The federal government stepped in to ensure depositors do not lose money even if their funds weren't federally insured. Wisconsin banking officials say the state's banks have a more diverse customer base and safer portfolios than the tech banks. Daryl Lund is with the Wisconsin Bankers Association.
Overall, that diversification helps the banks to weather those peaks and valleys if there are economic cycles.
Some researchers say the recent bank collapses are the result of regulatory failures and serve as a warning sign for the industry. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Wisconsin prison is opening a new unit for inmates with advanced medical needs. The facility at a men's lockup near Madison is available to minimum security prisoners who need rehabilitative or assisted living care. Roy Rogers advocates for criminal justice reform through a nonprofit called The Community. He used to be incarcerated and believes the new unit is badly needed.
Having on-call medical attention is not a reality. If you're having a complication, you gotta hope that you can get somebody attention to come see about you.
The Assisted Needs Unit opened last month on a limited basis. Prison leaders say they're recruiting staff so it can eventually reach its full 65-bed capacity. The $7 million addition comes as the state grapples with an aging prison population. The 19th annual State of the Tribes address took place yesterday at the Wisconsin State Capitol. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the chair of the Secaucus Chippewa community called on state lawmakers to work with tribal leaders on environmental issues.
Chairman Robert Van Zyl Jr. called for mitigation of high levels of PFAS in Wisconsin waters and for an environmental impact study to be done on the so-called Line 5 oil and gas pipeline in northern Wisconsin. The Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa has sued the Canadian energy firm behind that pipeline in federal court. Van Zyl told the assembled lawmakers that there can be no economic progress in Wisconsin without a healthy environment.
Ruin those natural resources, and the people will take their tourism dollars elsewhere.
Van Zyl said that the state has a tradition of collaboration between tribes and state agencies on environmental protection. And he said that without a clean Wisconsin environment, quote, everything else is meaningless. On Even Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up after the break, we've got a piece from Wisconsin Life about the joys of driving stick shift. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on. And in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with an ode to a car.
Some people get really passionate about taking sides on everyday things that make our lives a little sweeter. Coke versus Pepsi, the Beatles versus the Stones, Biggie versus Tupac, and of course, manual versus automatic transmission. Writer Nancy Jorgensen is team manual and tells us about her love of and nostalgia for driving stick shift.
A few months before our wedding, my boyfriend bought me a car I couldn't drive. A cherry red, two-door Volkswagen Beetle. Like a little sugar bun, round and sweet. I settled in the bucket seat, hesitant after my single parking lot lesson on manual transmissions. I checked the mirrors, jerked into traffic. Don't be afraid on the hill. I shifted, gave it gas. Sedans and station wagons zipped past. The engine putt-putt sputtered, quit. A rookie with four on the floor, I didn't realize the car was in third gear. I fumbled with the clutch and stick, and after several attempts, found first gear and slipped back on the road. As the four-cylinder, 60-horsepower engine purred in the rear, I relaxed a bit and let the wind tangle my hair. By the time I pulled into our alley garage, imaginary stars twinkled my Beetle, with its pedal for my left foot and its knob for my right hand. Already, I craved more practice with step ball change choreography. Soon, the clutch and I were like lovers. We went everywhere together. My parents' house to swim in the pool, my grandma's cottage to gather beans and eggs, my daughter's daycare center so I could teach choir classes at work. In summer, with the windows cranked, driving delivered whiffs of freshly cut grass. In winter, with a hole in the floorboard, commuting coughed up ice and sleet. That car wedded me to the road, so close were the steering wheel and windshield, so tight the space between me and Wisconsin's wavering weather. Eventually, I traded my 72 Bug for a family car with four doors. But every vehicle since, 87, 97, 09, required my left foot dance with a clutch. Five years ago, when a surgeon damaged my boyfriend, now husband's, left leg, we surrendered our manual transmission. The dealer almost refused our trade-in. "No one wants a stick shift anymore," he said. "Won't be able to sell it." Is it possible to pine for a pedal? To love a rubber-covered hunk of metal? To feel an absent clutch like a phantom limb? I sense its presence. I anticipate using it. My leg twitches and hovers in its void. But the clutch isn't all I've lost. I'll never again have parents with a backyard pool. No more grandma with gardens and chickens. No more baby daughters strapped in the back seat. Nostalgia is like a 1970s poncho. It covers me in discordant threads, some delicate, light, and brief, some weighty, rough, and lasting. Strands of memory intertwine, and it's impossible to separate one from the others. Last week, a snappy little convertible with a lion's roar zoomed past me in the park, and I felt something like longing. I imagined myself in a leather seat, downshifting on a hill, gliding through gears third, fourth, fifth, cruising Lake Michigan's shore, sailboats on the horizon, leaning into curves at 50 miles an hour. In real life, I get behind the wheel of my SUV. A screen tells me where to go. An air conditioner cools to a precise number, and a cabin cradles me far above the bumpy pavement. But it's hard to navigate when the parts I love the most are no longer there.
Nancy Jorgensen is a writer who lives in Waukesha. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning, and you can always find more news anytime at WPR.org. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.